Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Oh, a great tackle by Steve Tasker.
Into the end zone. Touchdown. Touchdown.
And he's got it at the 10-yard line.
Touchdown. Touchdown. Touchdown, Buffalo. The Bills win it in overtime.
That's how we get started every day. One Bills Live. Welcome to the show. Welcome to Orchard Park. A cloudy, cool November-like day here in Orchard Park, and it's November. It should be like that. If you're watching on the MSG feed, you see a look of you see the look at vacant New Era Field, beautiful field, getting set for a home game here this week. On the other side of where we are, the number one practice field, the grass practice field, the Buffalo Bills at work as we speak, getting practice started, the Wednesday practice, getting set for this week's game, home against the Denver Broncos on Sunday at 1 o'clock. Good afternoon, and God bless you, Steve Tasker.
Thank you. I just
sneezed to get the show
started. One last sneeze.
Got it out of the way.
Show's not going to be anything to sneeze at, though. We've got brownie at practice today. It's always fun. We sat down here. I thought, you know, we should start. We should just kind of roll up into some statistics about where the team stands right now and how they're doing. I don't know if I'm ready for that.
Oh. I thought you were taking over. I was going to sit back.
They're the number eighth overall offense in their conference, in the AFC.
Right
in the
middle.
They're right in the middle. Offensively. Now, defensively, of course, they're high up. They're number two overall and all that stuff. You know, they're good.
That's it?
But, you know, I was thinking about this, and this is the truth. Now, remember back, Murph? We said if we can keep the defense at a top five defense, and if we can just get our offense, in the middle of the pack, we're going to be a much better football team. We were right.
They are a much better team than they were.
They're still 20th overall in the league offensively, so you'd like to see them better. But I think, you know, they are getting better. I mean, this last week against the Dolphins, okay, it's an improvement, but you got to improve against those guys, right? But still, it's right where we thought we wanted to be in the off season. You want to keep your defense where it was at a top five like they were last year, and in fact, they've probably gotten a little better this season, statistically anyway. And their offense is markedly better. I mean, a lot better. And as much as we, you know, harp about, wow, they got to score, and all the angst and hand-wringing we do about our offense, wow, we're way better than we were a year ago. And now, instead of being on a path to 6-10 like we were a year ago, we're 7-3, and people are penciling us in for, you know, the first wild card spot. It's exactly where we kind of envisioned ourselves like 9 months ago.
Kind of, yeah.
I mean
we did preseason predictions. I figured 10 wins. You figured 11 plus, and they're on that pace. It kind of takes us right to our Twitter poll today, too, as a matter of fact. You know what's left on the Bills' schedule. It went from being one of the easiest in the league to one of the more difficult in the league now because, you know, you played the Dolphins, you played the Browns, and they're bad records. Now you got six games left. You got a couple of really good teams, right, in these six
more
remaining
than a couple.
Games. Baltimore and New England in particular, really good teams left on the schedule. At Dallas, won't be easy. At Pittsburgh, won't be easy. And, of course, Denver this week. So here you go. You know what the schedule is. They have the third most difficult remaining schedule in the league, six games left. How many more wins do you see? How many more wins do you see out of those six? That's our Twitter poll. We'll take your comments on it, 803-0550, toll-free, 1-888-550-2550. You can send in a tweet. We'll read them on the tweet sheet. You can vote in the Twitter poll. We've already got 235 votes in the Twitter poll. Third most difficult schedule remaining, final six games for the Bills. How many more wins do you see? Zero or one? Do you think they're going to be a 7 or 8 win team, which would be improvement over last year? Only 5% of you say you see that. Two or three wins? Do you see a 9 or 10 win team? 78% of you say that's where they're at. That's where I'm at. That's where I was preseason. That's where I remain. They're going to win 10 games, I believe. Four or more wins. Do they get to 11 or more wins? 17% of you see that for the Buffalo Bills. Let us know. The Twitter poll is up. You can vote in that. You can give us a call, 803-0550, toll-free, 1-888-550-2550. Look, I don't think you're saying this. I don't believe we had this season wired. We knew how it would go. But you kind of took a look at the Bills' schedule. You took a look at what the roster was like, and we knew after 2 years what Sean McDermott's leadership style would be. And, yeah, I think it was realistic to expect 10 or 11 teams when the Las Vegas folks, the wise guys, usually pretty good, what were they saying, 6.5, 7 wins?
6.5.
That just didn't seem right for this group, you know? It didn't seem right. It seemed low.
It turns out
it was low. They're going to be better than that.
And we're never going to be Brent Musburger here, right? I mean, I had the over. I'm not a gambler. But I do know this. When they set those, they're trying to take the temperature not of the team, but of the people's perception of the team,
right,
and what people will bet. So it's not really about the game or the team or the situation that as it may be in reality here in Buffalo. It was about what they think the national persona is. They're taking bets from everywhere. So that's where they were at. And, you know, people here in Buffalo, you and me, I mean, we don't gamble, and we're not even allowed to gamble, right? So because we're NFL employees and all of that stuff that goes with it. But, you know, I mean, I would have plunked the farm down on it.
Yeah, better than 6.5.
I mean, I would never have done it. But no. If I was going to, that's what I would have done.
Yeah.
That's the
it
bet
was
I would have made.
We knew it was
I knew
low.
It was low. And the schedule folded out, you know, pretty well for the Bills, no question about it. They took advantage of that schedule this last week and hung 37 points on the Dolphins. Their defense continues to play really stout. And I think now that we've kind of got an identity for this team, you kind of know what you're looking at, you can kind of project forward. Okay, let's go. I don't think any of those teams now, certainly they'll say, hey, they haven't played anybody or whatever. They haven't, you know, but they're going to see some things in Buffalo that's going to give them pause. They're going to stand there and look at that tape and they're going to go, yeah, we better have an answer.
Yeah.
You know, cause the Bills are not easy to beat, and I think we're going to see that down the stretch here. It's going to be a lot of fun these last 6 weeks.
Which of Buffalo's opponents this year could say that? The Bills, they were easy to beat, right? They've only lost 3 times. New England beat them by 6. Philadelphia beat them by 18. Okay, maybe they have something to say there. Cleveland beat them by 3. I guess you could argue Philadelphia might be the one team that could say, Buffalo didn't give us much trouble. I think the Bills have grown significantly since October 27th and the game against Philadelphia, believe it or not.
I think they're a better team now
on offense especially.
I think that was a kind of we've seen it. It's a week-to-week league. The Bills have been, extremely consistent throughout the season. The Eagles have been a little up and down, and we caught them on an up, no question about it. The Bills have weathered some weeks where we got teams on an up. For what it's worth, I think the Bengals gave them a swing when they thought they were up. The Dolphins in the first go-around gave the Bills a good hard swing and thought they could take them out. The Bills, however, and you know, notwithstanding this last week, have been the team we've seen. They struggle to score points, but they're in this last 5 weeks, since week five, they don't give anything away. Josh Allen hasn't turned it over. The Bills don't turn it over. They run it. They balance it. They do a different – they kind of try and do some different things every week to keep you guessing as a defense. And sometimes they get it done and sometimes they don't. More often than not, they get it done more than your offense is able to get it done against the Bills' defense. So they're winning games. They're 7-3. That's the way this game has gone. And you know who this team's going to be. You know what you're going to get when you play the Bills, and you know you're not going to run off and leave them. I mean, they're going to be in this, and it's going to be fun these last 6 weeks of the regular season to see which of these teams on our schedule are going to – how their week-to-week is going to look.
It's great.
I went
into this yesterday, and I won't repeat it, but, man, to be here late November and have 6 games left, all meaningful, with playoff hopes alive but certainly not guaranteed – with wins you need to get, including this Sunday, it really is a perfect sweet spot for Bills fans.
And having a team that you're kind of proud of and fun to watch.
Yeah.
You know, and I get it. We'd all like to see, you know, a Chiefs, like, we'd all like our team to be a 35-point scoring offense every, you know, that's fun to watch when your team's scoring a lot of offense and stuff, but hey, they're winning. And that's just in. They got a better record than the Chiefs.
Yeah.
You know? I mean, that's the amazing part. If you thought where we were, you know, 9 months ago where this team was kind of starting to formulate and free agency hit and they brought all these guys in, the offensive line, we got, you know, all these new guys we didn't know. It's pretty fun. And this is a team that's really cool to cheer for. And I'm like you, Murph, you get about this point in the week, Wednesday and for sure tomorrow, you're like, man, I got to start lining myself up for the weekend. I can't wait to see these guys play.
Yeah.
It's really, it has been a lot of fun this season to watch this team take shape and really battle in some of these games and come out on top.
I said that to Steve about 11:30 this morning I said, I watched Denver video last night, see what I saw, and get thinking about the game. And I woke up today thinking, man, I can't wait till Sunday. I can't wait to see how this Bills team, as Steve has pointed out, fairly consistent, getting better in some areas, patching up problems. They've solved some problems this year, right? Turnovers were a problem. Not anymore. They haven't been for a couple of games. That might crop up again, but not right now. Penalties were a big problem. Hasn't really been a big problem the last couple of weeks. Josh Allen's play, they needed to solve some problems. They did last week. Will he continue on an upward path? We'll see. But they solve problems, patch things up, and keep going. And it's really kind of been fun to watch, with more fun to come. All right, so you got the Twitter poll. Third toughest schedule remaining. How many more wins do you see? Give us a call, 803-0550, toll-free from outside Buffalo, 1-888-550-2550. Line's wide open right now. You can vote in the Twitter poll online at One Bills Live, or you can send in a tweet, so there's that. We got a good show. Chris Brown, we're going to get to him at practice. He's outside the Ed Pro Sports Training Center as the Bills get loosened up, getting ready for their Wednesday practice. Field Yates going to join us from ESPN. He is their NFL insider. And, of course, with Field, you talk about the league a little bit. We will. And you can get your suggestions for your fantasy football team. Field's an expert at that. You can send those in via Twitter. We'll read them on the air. Matt Bowen joins us from NFL Matchup on ESPN, a former Bills safety, one of the most astute film graders and most film evaluators working in the media these days. Matt Bowen, I don't think we've had him on since the Combine, now that I think of it, back in February.
You're right. We've had Greg on, his cohort, his co-host.
Matt Bowen is great, and we'll get his perspective on the Bills and the rest of the league and on the Denver Broncos. Following practice today, Micah Hyde, Bills safety, joins us to talk about what's going on around the Bills. There is a couple of things going on at practice today. Ty Insecki is out, no practice today, and head coach Sean McDermott said he is week to week. So you can cross him off the list, at least for this week. Safety Saran Neal in concussion protocol, so there's no updates on him. No practice today for defensive end Jerry Hughes, with dealing with that groin situation that kept him out last Thursday, I believe it was, and a veteran rest day for Lorenzo Alexander and John Brown. Bills quarterback Josh Allen, the AFC Offensive Player of the Week, for his game against the Dolphins, the 37-20 win, threw for 256 yards, 3 touchdowns, no picks. It's the second time that Josh Allen has won the Offensive Player of the Week award in the AFC. Did it at the season finale last year, also against Miami. So Josh Allen, congratulations to him, the AFC Offensive Player of the Week. Sunday's referee is going to be Jerome Boger. Sunday's weather, snow showers in the morning, otherwise mostly cloudy, temperatures in the mid to upper 30s. The winds west 10 to 15 miles an hour, 30% chance of snow. So there you go. You're all set up, right? Thursday, Friday, 4 days away for the Bills and the Denver Broncos. I'm going to talk about your hockey experience last night. I will tell you, I told you this already. I'll repeat it. Watched the Broncos a couple of games last night. I watched their close loss to Minnesota. They were in it right to the end. They were down at the 4-yard line, Denver was, with a chance to score a touchdown and win that game.
And they also had got right before halftime of that game, when they were up 20-0. They got picked right then in the red zone where they were going to try and go in and score. They could have gotten 23-0 or maybe even 27-0, but they threw an interception in the red zone at halftime. Yeah. So it was going to be worse. So, and I told you too, you know, you talk about knowing who these teams are. How familiar are Bills fans? We went in, we were playing such bad football early last year. Remember the Nathan Peterman day in the game? All that's how bad it was going. All the quarterbacks were getting hurt. And we went in, and that was Josh Allen's. And we looked so bad on film, the Vikings didn't show up. And the Bills thumped them as a result. That's the Josh Allen hurdle game. They did the same thing yesterday in Minnesota, last Sunday, as they did against the Bills. The Denver Broncos went in there and hit them right in the mouth and almost won it. And this time, Minnesota actually managed to save that game. But they didn't against the Bills last year. It was the same kind of thing. Mike Zimmer, once in a while, his team lays an egg for him.
Yeah.
And you can put that at his feet, I guess, but I think that's what happened. I mean, they just didn't show up until after halftime.
Broncos, not a good team, really, but they're not the Dolphins. They got talent. I mean, we'll talk about the quarterback in a minute, but Phillip Lindsay is a good, quick running back, not big, but a quick guy who can get outside in a hurry. I really like the tight end, their first-rounder, Noah Fant from Iowa. He might be better than his Iowa teammate, T.J. Hockenson, who went before him in the draft. But Noah Fant looks really good for the Denver Broncos. Pretty good receivers, especially Courtland Sutton, second-year player, and Tim Patrick. The quarterback is interesting, Brandon Allen. He's made two NFL starts, won one game, and then, of course, lost last week. I don't know what to make of him, Steve. He's not a great player. Okay, you can see that, but he's kind of gritty and he's a gamer and he's undersized and he's got a decent enough arm. Nothing special, not a real strong arm. If you're looking for a weather advantage, root for high winds on Sunday, which are not in the forecast, because I don't know if Brandon Allen's arm could handle a high wind situation here. I know Josh's can, but he's got enough weapons around him to keep it going. And, of course, the defense is good. Von Miller is good.
Defense is good.
Shelby Harris, defensive end, had a really good game at Minnesota last week. The back end of the defense, Chris Harris Jr., veteran guy, and other than that, not a whole lot to recommend. But they're not like a Miami team that doesn't have any talent. They have talent sprinkled around. They started out poorly with four straight losses. They started out with Joe Flacco, which did not work well for them. Got into the thing with Flacco, and now he's on IR. Four losses. They won two in a row and now have lost three of their last four. They're ticketed for, a 5 or 6 win team, and they're probably upset about the way it went down in Minnesota last Sunday, coming here to Buffalo now. And I would say they're slightly dangerous for the Bills. It's not an impressive Denver team, but there's a team you can't just shrug your shoulders at, because you could do that with Miami, not this week against Denver. There's a little bit of talent there.
Right. And Brandon Allen, he'd try and get a handle on who you can compare him to for, people here in Buffalo who don't watch the Broncos. Ryan Fitzpatrick without the talent. He's 28. And it took him this long to get on the field for the NFL, and it took a guy getting hurt for him to get on the field. And so he's not a guy who physically blows your doors off. But like you said, he's a guy like Ryan Fitzpatrick. You know those guys are rallying around him. This Bronco team has got some grit, and they've got some pride. They've got some veterans on this team that are not going to let them not prepare to play well. And Vic Fangio is going to have those guys wired up defensively, ready for this Bills offense. So that it's going to be I've done it every week, and last week I was wrong, but I'll say it again this week. This is going to be one of those nail biters. This is going to be a close football game. Those defenses are not going to allow somebody to jump out and run off with this game.
It's interesting. There was a report early this week from Jason LaConfora of CBSSports.com that the Broncos players were in a bit of a revolt against Vic Fangio. That report came out, and then yesterday John Elway denied it, said there's no rift between the first-year head coach and his players. Fangio's interesting, right? Longtime defensive coordinator, 42 years as a coach, 30-plus years in the NFL, gets his first crack at coaching and being the head coach of an NFL team, and it's not going well. They're 3-7. I don't know. They're an interesting team. They certainly have enough resources to build a good team. Does John Elway know what he's doing, how to build a good team? I think that is still in play, in question. But we'll see. I do think they're scrappy. The first thing I said to you this morning about the Broncos, they're a scrappy team. If they were your team, you'd like the way they play. I will say that. You know what I mean? Well, look, we don't have this, but look at how hard they play. You'd like that about this team.
It's like everything, though. When your team struggles to win games, and even if they're playing hard, you think, God, we just need good players. We need better players. That's every team in the league is sitting there and has fans in its fan base to say, if we just had this guy here at this spot, we'd be a lot better. Or this guy at this spot. Bills fans have done this offensively all season, at least looking for that one magic elixir that will give them an extra touchdown a game and make a big difference for them. Every team is like that. The Denver Broncos fans are, while they're sitting there saying, yeah, there's a lot of things that could go differently, we like the way they play. And Vic, and that's a reflection of Vic Fangio. He's got them playing hard and gritty. You alluded to, and we have time to talk about John Elway a lot. I'm acquainted with him. We played against each other a number of times, played on the same team in the Pro Bowl a bunch of times as well. I don't want to say – he takes a lot of heat for how he's handled the quarterback situation in Denver, because he's chosen a ton of guys, and they've rolled through there, and they've not yet to hit on him. I'm kind of in the opposite camp myself. He knows what he's looking at in a quarterback, and because he has the autonomous power given to him by the owner, the family, the Bolin family, he knows what he's looking at. If you get in there and play quarterback for the Broncos and he doesn't like what he sees, next guy up. And sooner or later, he'll probably hit on a guy, or he'll have the draft capital to draft a guy. But I don't think – and maybe you could say he doesn't have patience. Maybe that's true. How many times have we seen a you think Tennessee's happy they just wasted 5 years on Marcus Mariota?
Right.
They could have been – John Elway would have gone through three other candidates by this time. And they're practicing now. They're starting Ryan Tannehill.
Elway's not doing that. If he knows the guy, what you're looking for,
why can't he find the right guy?
This just in, Murph. How long did the Bills look for a guy?
That was the right answer.
They had the number one draft picks.
We've been in quarterback purgatory for as long as anybody.
You know how you find them? You go through the pile and you pull one out and see if you like it. If you don't, you throw him away and you get the next guy on the pile. That's how you find a quarterback. Elway's doing it the right way.
I don't know about that.
He's doing it the exact right way. Another one. Blake Bortles. The Jacksonville Jaguars were a game away from the Super Bowl with Blake Bortles as their quarterback. All they needed was somebody with a pulse. And they couldn't have because they stuck with him through thick and thin, too long.
What's that got to do with Denver?
Denver never would have had a different guy by the time they had a defense worthy of a Super Bowl. They would have had a different guy. A journeyman could have played better than Blake Bortles did in the playoffs in 2017. A journeyman. But they were stuck with Blake Bortles because they wanted to make sure he was if he's not the right guy, jettison him and go. Mm. That's what John Elway has done in Denver. Now, he takes a lot of heat for it because they continue to wash through. Joe Flacco's the latest one.
Still need to find one.
Yeah, and
they
fell into
Peyton Manning, and that worked out pretty well for him.
And he handled him too. And I'll tell you what, Elway.
Nobody handles Peyton.
He handled him pretty rough. You know why? Peyton Manning took a significant pay cut in his final year. Significant pay. Yes. John said, "Listen, if you want to play for it, you're gonna because we need the cap space." And Peyton said,
"I don't get your point here. What are you saying? Elway is on target. He's close to finding a quarterback because they need one.
I don't know if he's close.
Need one."
Well, yeah, but now where is he going to get one? You got to go with what you got now.
Yeah.
That's why he's down to Brandon Allen. But I'll tell you what, you think Joe Flacco is going to be their quarterback next year?
No.
That's right. Somebody else is going to get a shot at it.
So you're giving Elway credit for cycling through quarterbacks. Okay. Yeah, I guess he's doing that. Did you give the Bills credit when they were doing something similar?
Sometimes they hung on to guys a little too long.
Huh? All right.
Right?
Like who?
Well, I mean, how long are you going to go with these guys, you know?
Yeah. I appreciate your relationship with Elway.
I don't have a relationship with him. We're acquainted.
Right.
I'm sticking up for him, but I think I like
the
philosophy.
It's hard to defend him. The philosophy of what? I'm scrambling for a quarterback.
Not like sticking Dimitroff, with anybody who's not going to be the guy.
I've quoted Tom Dimitroff on the show for the last 3 years, and he's right. When you don't have a franchise quarterback, you are in perpetual scramble to find that guy. And he was talking about Atlanta in the Super Bowl with Matt Ryan. I wonder if his thoughts have changed a little bit about that now. But when you don't have the guy, and it looks like the Bills might have theirs, when you don't have the guy, you are in constant pursuit of that guy.
Right.
And that's where the Broncos are now, and that's where they've been since Peyton Manning stepped away.
I agree. And that's why, too, I think – but I think, unlike other teams, they've got a guy at the top who played the position at the highest level, won 2 Super Bowls, went to 5 Super Bowls. He has a strong – maybe you can say this right or wrong, but I think the guy knows what he's talking about. He's a really sharp guy. He knows from what he's looking at. When you get a guy in live action, either the chemistry with the head coach – and I'm sure he takes this into account too because he was with Dan Reeves, and that was a rocky relationship. He looks at everything, and if it's not working with this guy and this regime or whatever, he's pulling the plug on that guy. He's moving on because you don't get anywhere. You get to where you're going faster if you hurry. And John Elway is hurrying through these quarterbacks to get to the next one that's going to be the right guy. And that, to me, is the right frame of mind.
All right. Yeah, he's trying. I give him credit.
That's exactly right. And a lot of these teams, well, you know, you've seen it. This general manager's married to this quarterback. If this quarterback doesn't work, this general manager loses his job. So this general manager is hanging on to this quarterback no matter what, even when he stinks. So that's Elway's not tied to that, and that's, I think, where he has the advantage.
Now you forced me to go and look at, since Peyton Manning, right, Broncos quarterbacks who have started, Brock Osweiler, that was an Elway move.
Right.
Trevor Siemian, Paxton Lynch they drafted fairly early, Case Keenum, Joe Flacco. So you give them credit for all those 5-6 failures. Is that what you're doing?
And how many years has it been?
They won the Super Bowl in 2015, January 2014.
4 years. 5 years. 5 years, 15, 5 different quarterbacks. 19. Why would he give anybody a second year when they're not going to be the guy? Get the next guy in. I agree with it. Okay. I know it's going to take a while. Those guys don't grow on trees. But he's finding out more about quarterbacks in his roster and stuff than other guys are finding out on theirs.
All right. Hey, we got to get to Brownie. We're going to take a break, and Chris Brown's going to join us from the sideline at Bills practice outdoors. Come on back. We're just getting going here. We're going to update you on what the Bills look like today. One Bills Live presented by Kalata Health, coming to you from the Seneca Studio in Orchard Park. This is Buffalo Bills Radio.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/decide. That's linkedin.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
Welcome back. John Murphy, Steve Tasker, One Bills Live. We're coming to you from our Seneca studio in Orchard Park. Let's go to practice. You want to take a look at practice? Chris Brown, Bills Insider, BuffaloBills.com, standing by on the sidelines as the Bills get ready for the Denver Broncos. Chris, come in. Chris, can we hear you? Beep, beep, beep. Chris, are you there?
Yes, I am here. Do you need Morse code? What do we need today? Yeah, no.
I need you to – I'm looking at you. I saw you during the break, and the atmosphere out there, and one word came to mind. And I just wanted to look it up, and I think I have the right word. It is dank out there, isn't it? D-A-N-K, dank. It is disagreeably damp, musty, and typically cold. It's dank out there, isn't it? Dang it.
A little bit. It's not terrible, though. I mean, there's no discernible wind to speak of, and that just makes a gigantic difference out here. So it's bearable for practice in, you know, late November. So not nearly as bad as it was a couple of weeks ago when we were down in the 20s.
Right, so, yeah, and the Bills take the field today with the reigning offensive player of the week in Josh Allen. What did you take from his performance Sunday, and what do you think they can take forward against the Broncos?
Yeah, I think the biggest difference in his play last week as opposed to previous weeks, even the week prior in Cleveland, was he was starting to merge his progress as a pre-snap diagnoser of what he's looking at with his post-snap game. I think they started to come together last week against Miami, and granted, it was an inferior opponent. I think most people would agree with that. We'll get a better idea as to just how close he is to merging those two parts of his game against what is a formidable defense this week in Denver, which is fourth in the league overall, seventh in points allowed, and fifth against the pass.
Chris, I like what you have settled on as maybe the primary reason for Josh Allen's big game, because you know there's a lot of window dressing in that Buffalo offensive attack last Sunday. Brian Daboll upstairs, no huddle attack, etc. Those are factors, but I don't think that's – I mean, that was part of what went right, but not the main part of what went right last Sunday. Do you agree?
Yeah, I mean, I think he got to his answers more effectively because of some of the no huddle. He admitted as much. And so if you can get your quarterback in a comfort level, or a comfort zone, I should say, where he has the answers at the ready, especially when they're showing blitz, which they did early, and he's got, you know, he can change to a one-step drop and then get it out to John Brown, who's setting up his DB nicely to get early separation, that makes it a whole lot easier for a young quarterback because he's feeling, I've got answers. And I know he was on your show on Monday, and he also said that he felt he could play free based on what Coach told him and the team last week, which was to play fearless. And if there was ever an opponent to tell your team to do that against, the Dolphins were the perfect tonic for that as well.
Well, you talked about him getting to his answers a little quicker post-snap. He's going to need to do that even faster this week because the Broncos defense are going to be rushing against an offensive lineman with Ty Anseki week to week. He may not be available. Cody Ford goes to right tackle. How do you see the protection package shaping up against this Broncos front as opposed to the Dolphins front?
Yeah, I think the good thing is Cody Ford got some exposure to a premier pass rusher a couple of weeks ago in Myles Garrett. Von Miller plays on his side of the formation about 75% of the time. He will flip back and forth, but primarily, you know, on average three out of every four snaps, he's lining up at that left outside linebacker position in Denver's 3-4 scheme. So that will be a premier test, and it's not going to surprise me at all if they use a back to chip on his way out or have a tight end there as help for Cody, especially if he's going to be manning that role full-time if Inseki is not good to go. So big test this week for sure. I'm at least somewhat encouraged by the fact that he's seen guys of this caliber before just a couple of weeks ago.
And we're talking with Chris Brown. He's outside watching Bills practice on this Wednesday. Hey, Chris, one more question about the Buffalo offense I have for you. And, you know, we don't know whether they stayed with some of the things that went well, but they at least have not ruled out going back to no-huddle offense. I don't know if that's the ultimate solution, but it worked this past Sunday. I don't know. What do you think? I'm glad they have that in their offensive arsenal. I don't know if they need to keep no-huddle offense going. What do you think?
Maybe not to that degree because It was essentially the entire first half. There were only three plays that they ran in which they were not in 11 personnel, which is their predominant formation, which has kind of been in vogue in the league for a couple of years now with the Rams popularizing it tremendously. They use it more than anybody, up and around the 80% range. So I think going forward, what you look at is you look at the opponent this week. And so you say, what is Denver do well? What do they have trouble with? And I can tell you that when Minnesota went up tempo and hurry up offense, due primarily to the fact that they were down 20 points on the scoreboard, you know, in a 20-0 hole to Denver, the Denver defense did have trouble getting in their alignments against that hurry up from play to play and series to series. And seeing some of the comments from the Denver defensive players, it seems as though the issue is some of their calls defensively are quite wordy. Vic Fangio is known to run a complex defensive scheme, and they don't just have two- and three-word calls on that side of the ball. So if you can get your tempo going, get a couple of first downs, you can kind of catch this Denver defense a little off kilter, and that's advantage Buffalo as far as moving the football goes.
Can I ask you one more? Do we have time for one more, or do you got to go, Chris?
I think we got time.
Okay.
Yeah, we're good. We got 5 minutes and change here.
Okay. And Steve asked you a minute ago about protection schemes. Look, if Cody Ford, you know, now is the guy with Ty Anseki at least week to week. If you were looking for a way to get Cody Ford ready to play, you could not have done it much better than have him play essentially 50% of the snaps over there at right tackle. Do you agree?
Well, yeah, he's the guy, so he's got to make it happen. I think what happens here is Ryan Bates is the swing tackle this week if Inseki can't go, but I expect Ford to get the full complement of reps.
All right, we'll let you go now.
All right, thanks, Brownie. Appreciate it.
You got it, guys.
Chris Brown, Bills Insider from BuffaloBills.com, the insider, and he's going to be inside here in a moment as he leaves practice. It looked colder than I guess it was out there, huh?
It looks really cold. It looks really cold. It looks like, you know, Hogan's Heroes cold, you know, I mean.
I'm really eager to watch Cody Ford. And, look, I don't know if he'll finish up this season, but you certainly all have this week's game. And, I tried to make the point with Chris, you know, he's playing basically half the snaps, two series at a time through the first 10 games this year. It's a pretty good apprenticeship to get ready to play on a full-time basis. And, as you point out, it's Von Miller on the other side. So, welcome to the NFL, Mr. Ford, right?
Yeah, you better have it strapped up. I mean, this is a game that Von Miller wrecks games. And he does it a lot of times against young offensive linemen. You got to have a bunch of tools in your toolbox to combat a guy like that. You got to get rid of the ball quick on some downs. You've got to have a tight end or a wing back next to your right tackle to give Von, don't give Von Miller the corner to come off the edge fast on. You chip block him with a back, releasing from the backfield to knock him off his path and help his your right tackle. All of that stuff is in the mix to do. One of them or something like those have got to be done every play.
Yeah.
That you're going to throw the football on. And the only time you don't do that are the ones where you want him up the field so you can run it past him. You know, so you got you got a lot of tools in your toolbox to get that done. He's a game wrecker. He still is. Their defense is still playing extremely well. They're number four in the league. Buffalo is number three yards per game allowed. This team in Denver right now is pretty similar to Buffalo. They lean on their defense and hope their offense can make enough plays to win it. I think Buffalo's got a better and more consistent offense at this point than the Broncos do. But it's a week-to-week league.
Yeah, you're right.
I mean, I know.
Yeah.
You got to play well to beat this team because their defense are tough.
Bills are considerably better than Denver, though. I mean, 7 wins to 3 wins demonstrates that. And it's mostly on the offensive side of the ball. The Bills have offensive playmakers. Look, how many times this year did we go into games or callers or tweeters are going to games and say, well, the Bills have the worst receiving core in the league? You know what? They don't. They don't. John Brown is good. Cole Beasley is really good. And here's a team, an opponent, Denver, which the receivers don't match up with Buffalo's receivers, if you want to do it that way. Miami's did not match up with Buffalo's. So the Bills have talent at places the Broncos can only dream about, I think, and maybe even at running back. I like Philip Lindsay. Quickness, it's there, but I don't know if he's an every down back. You know, I think he's okay. Royce Freeman, his backup is a good changeup, but there's just not a whole lot of talent there. Their offensive line, and then maybe Dalton Reisner, their first or their second round pick, kind of banged up, might not be ready to play. You know, he's been starting at left guard for them for most of the season. So it's not a good team, the Denver Broncos. As I said, they're a scrappy team. If you were a Denver fan, if you lived in Denver, you'd say, all right, I like this team. I like the way they play. They go after it. They play hard. You can say that about the quarterback, Brandon Allen, but he's a fraction of what Josh Allen can bring to a football game.
They run a 3-4 defense, so there's four linebackers on the field all the time, and the four linebackers are Malik Reed, Von Miller, Alexander Johnson, and Todd Davis. Von Miller is a beast. Mike Purcell is a big nose tackle. So this is going to be a different front for the Bills to contend with on a down-to-down basis. And that's one of the things that trends all over the place in the NFL. For a long time, it was a 3-4 defense, and that's how you generated a pass rush because they didn't know which of the four or the five guys standing at the line of scrimmage were going to come, and they had to decipher that. The team's got a lot of advantages from that. And now the pendulum has swung back in some respects to a 4-3 defense is a lot more prominent because, you know, they like the way they can fill in the linebackers are more easily filled in at any gap along the front. The run fits are better for the linebackers. You make more plays in the run game. So, you know, the pendulum swings back and forth on these defenses, but I don't think the Bills see as many 3-4 defenses as they used to, and this is going to be one that's really going to be tough to contend with because they got an elite pass rusher.
Denver's got a deal with the AFC Offensive Player of the Week. Josh Allen, Buffalo's quarterback, got the award today. Josh Allen, AFC Offensive Player of the Week for his game against Miami, and head coach Sean McDermott was asked today about that and how they acknowledge Josh Allen's getting that award. Here's Sean McDermott.
Whether it's game balls, in this case with Josh, with the AFC Offensive Player of the Week, great accomplishment. And I think the biggest thing that our players understand is that those are not individually won or accomplished on their own. So those are team recognitions, really. So that's what's baked into all of that, but certainly great for Josh to be recognized.
And we expect to hear from Josh Allen a little bit later on this afternoon after practice. All right. We've got a good show here. We want you to join us. Phone lines open, 803-0550, toll-free 1-888-550-2550. Half a dozen games left for the Bills. How many wins do you see in that half dozen games left? It's a Twitter poll question that we've had up now for just a little bit shy of an hour. We'd like to get your response on the telephone lines, or you can send in a tweet. We'll read some of the tweets in a moment or two. Or if you'd like, simply just vote in the Twitter poll with 550 votes in so far. How many wins can you see of these remaining six? 77% of you say they're going to win two or three more. 18% of you say they're going to win four plus. 5% say zero or one more wins in the remaining six. What do you think? We'll talk about it when we come back. One Bills Live, presented by Kalina Health, live from the Seneca Studio, and this is Buffalo Bills Radio.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Welcome back, One Bills Live. John Murphy, Steve Tasker here until 3 o'clock today. Got Field Yates coming up at 1 o'clock today. Micah Hyde after practice today. Matt Bowen's going to join us next hour as well. Man, we got a lot of ground to cover. Now it's time for you. Let us know what you think. The Bills' remaining schedule, 6 games left. Third most difficult schedule remaining in the NFL. How many wins do you see? Let us know what you think. You want to get Yes, sir.
You're not deviating from your preseason.
No, sir.
You think they're going to get 10 wins.
I do,
so you
sir.
Think 2 to 3 wins at least
yes,
is your thing. And I'm still sticking with my 4-plus. I think they're going to get to 11 wins. I think they will. Okay. They got to win 4 of these last 6 games.
Yes.
And I think they got a shot of doing it, no question. None of these teams are looking past this team. And they're going to have to play well to do it, but we knew that going in they were going to have to play well. We would have said to get to 7-3, they're going to have to really play some good football. They've got one lopsided loss on the season. The other two games certainly could have gone either way. They're a tough team to beat for anybody. And that's going to continue to be the case throughout the rest of the season. And they're going to win more than they lose.
Yep.
So
phone calls on this. We're going to Toronto. And I want to pronounce your name correctly. Is it Harjes? Is that how you say it? Harjes?
Harjes, yes.
Harjes, how are you?
Harjes.
I'm doing well. How are you guys?
Good.
Great.
Great to talk to you guys. Huge fan. Been listening to you guys for a few years now.
Thank you.
I'm from Toronto, but born in Buffalo, season ticket holder. So really excited to talk to you guys.
Great.
What do you have to say?
Specifically, so in the summer when the schedule came out, I also predicted 11 wins plus a playoff win.
He's on my team. Harjes is on my team. Way to go, man. I'm glad you called. So what do you think now?
So it's still on track, I think. We're going to say we still win 4 of the remaining 6 games. But so I'm thinking we beat Denver, kind of like how we beat the Bengals. Dallas is probably the most important game we have because that's going to prove to the rest of the country who doesn't watch us that, hey, the Bills are for real. Because people are just, they're writing us off against, especially people are like, I talked to a lot of people here, they're like, why are the Bills playing Thanksgiving? Who wants to watch the Bills? And I'm just like, oh, you're going to see. Don't worry. You will see. And then Baltimore, people are writing us off for that, and I think that's going to be similar to the Eagles game, so I'm going to count that as a loss. After that, Pittsburgh also, I think that's going to be a hiccup, kind of like the Browns game. I'm writing that off as a loss, but we beat New England, and then we beat the Jets.
So you've got the New England Patriots as a win. I'll bet you you may be on an island by yourself predicting that.
You know what? Because I'm thinking that we kind of play similarly to how we did the first meeting against New England. But this time we get their number because I think Josh is going to have a lot less mistakes. I think he's going to be a little more prepared for that defense. as much as you can be, and just maybe defense gets a couple of turnovers the way Brady's been playing, and sneak out a win there.
All right, Argus. Yeah. Thank you. Let's go to Tom in Webster, New York. Hello, Tom. Welcome to the show.
Oh, hi. Good to talk to you. I'm a first-time caller from Webster. How are you doing, guys?
We're doing great, Tom. Thank you.
Good. Hey, I see 10 more. I have a couple things I wanted to talk about. My prediction for the number of wins, and I'd like to talk about Allen a little bit and Brown and the defense. But my first prediction is wins against Denver, Pittsburgh, and the New York Jets to get us to 10-6.
Okay.
I feel that because I look at the – everybody says, well, Denver, they got a great defense. They do. But they gave up 27 points to the Vikings in the second half. So I didn't see the game, but do you know what happened there?
Well, the Vikings, what Chris Brown just told us on our live practice, it was that the Vikings went a little bit no huddle.
No
huddle on the second half, and Denver had struggled to answer it. So that's what happened. They went no huddle, and Denver fell apart defensively.
You know, not only did I know you got more here, Tom. I'm going to get to it. The Vikings, the Broncos were up by 16 points going to the fourth quarter. Yeah. So it's one thing to blow a 20-point lead at halftime. They were up by 16 going to the fourth quarter. How do you do that? Go ahead. I'm sorry, Tom. Go ahead.
So Denver doesn't have a good offense.
Right.
They have a good – okay. The other thing I'd like to see, I love this Allen-Brown combination, and I'd like to see more of the tight end included into – receiving packages.
You know, me too.
That would.
I think Dawson Knox is on the verge. I don't know, exploding is too strong a word, but he's on the verge of real emergence into a major weapon for this offense. And I hope he cured his hands issue and is hanging on to football thrown his way, but I do think he has a lot to offer. You know how you say the Bills offense has stuff under the hood? I think he's the number one piece under the hood waiting to emerge.
Here's the thing, too. When you talk about other guys getting involved, John Brown, Josh Allen, Cole Beasley, Dawson Knox, all of these guys, for the quarterback and Josh Allen, what happens typically – and I remember this as a player, those guys throw to people they trust and who they not – it's not about trusting them to catch the ball. And all that. They trust that all the guys are going to catch the ball when they throw it well and all that. What it is they trust what that guy is going to do, where he's going to be, when he's going to get there. Is he going to be by himself when he gets there? How much do I trust that all those things are going to happen? And right now – Josh Allen seems to trust John Brown a lot in that respect. I think he trusts Cole Beasley a lot, although I think teams pay a little bit of attention to Cole Beasley because they know those are easy completions for Josh Allen. I think Cole Beasley is one of the guys who gets a lot of attention, and even though he's got over 40 catches on the year, he might have a lot more if defenses didn't take away the easy completions for Josh Allen. So when you start talking about him spreading it around and maybe getting the tight ends involved, as you are, Tom, it's more about – who Josh Allen feels comfortable with and who the defenses are looking at as well. It's not like Josh just decides, I'm going to go to – you rarely hear a quarterback go, I'm throwing to you no matter what. It happens once in a while.
Yeah.
But when they start spreading it around, it's because the quarterback is really comfortable in the offense and he trusts all those guys. It's not just about trusting one or two. You got to trust all of them. And I don't know that Josh Allen is quite there with Dawson Knox or whether they've had enough – work to get there where he is with John Brown, but certainly John Brown's earning his trust. What else you got about the Bills' defense?
Oh, and then one other thing, two things left. I'm kind of a big fan of Duke Williams from the things I've seen, and I hope at some point they can get him in the game plan.
Okay, yeah, I agree.
Thanks, Tom. Yeah, it is an interesting question about Duke Williams, Steve. I think he's been inactive now three straight games.
Yeah.
After the Tennessee game, he was viewed as almost the savior for the Buffalo offense, and yet they see something else there. I'm not saying he is a savior, but it's the way things changed for Duke Williams. From they finally got him in the Tennessee game, everybody's like, we told you Duke Williams was going to be a factor, and he's not even on the field on Sundays now.
And I think perhaps, and I don't know anything about that, but I know that this coaching staff at least appears to have their finger on the pulse of this team's attitude and its players as much as any team in the league. Any coaching staff in the league has the pulse of their team. And I think when they activated Duke Williams, and he had the success he did, and it went as well as it did, I think that lit a fire under other guys on the roster. I think it sent a message that, listen, if you're playing well and practicing well, that's how you get on the field. This coaching staff and this regime is all about earning your keep. Duke Williams did that, and I think that message permeated the rest of the receivers in the room, the tight ends in the room, all of that stuff, and I think it served exactly the purpose it was supposed to, and maybe guys like Isaiah McKenzie and Robert Foster upped their prep or raised their level of intensity during the week to get back on the field when they had been sat down at that point of the season. So maybe that's what happened. I don't know. Maybe it's something else completely, but it certainly looks like that to me.
Going to break, going to come back. Field Yates going to join us next hour from NFL coverage on ESPN. He's coming up next hour, and Matt Bowen is with us as well from NFL Matchup. Got a big hour coming up. Come on back with us. One Bills Live, presented by Kalata Health from the Seneca Studio at One Bills Drive. This is Buffalo Bills Radio.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.